stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Bless you. Nice to be back here with you tonight. Be back here with him tonight.
Amen.
Wherever he's at, that's where I want to be. And he's chosen to be in the people in this hour. So that means I have to be where people are. Whether I want to be around people or not, because he's chosen to tabernacle in flesh, right? So if I want to be with him, I got to be with you. It's a good thing that I want to be with you. It's a win-win. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to speak tonight, a simple subject, but maybe it'll hit you at a little different level. The gift of repentance. And you might not think it's a gift, but I hope you do by the time we're through. Let's stand tonight. Acts, the second chapter, we'll read verses 36 through 39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. You say, well, Brother Baker, this didn't have anything to do with me. I didn't do it. You did. And if you didn't, you're hellbound. You must be identified with your sacrifice. His blood must be on your hands. He chose to identify himself with you. Now what's your choice? God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now notice this. Now when they heard this, so you have to hear it. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Not before, but when they heard it. So in order to be pricked in your heart, you have to hear the word. That word pricked means to pierce, to pain the mind sharply, to agitate it vehemently. Use especially of emotion of sorrow. So it's a genuine sorrow. It's a painful sorrow. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know it, but now I do, and I'm sorry. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, they weren't asking that before. They were asking it after they heard this. Then Peter said unto them, repent. It means to change one's mind. To change one's mind for better. Heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now that word remission, there's several meanings to it. One is the forgiveness of sin, but another is the loosening from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we're so grateful to be gathered together in this midweek service. Pray that you strengthen each one this evening, Lord, that you'd help us. No doubt, many are tired, many have labored, maybe our minds are a little distracted, maybe we've have things in our lives that we're battling with that are taking our attention, but Lord, help us to just get out of ourselves here for a few moments, to take our seat at the table, Lord, in heavenly places. And Father, to feast upon the portion of the word that you provided for us tonight, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, you knew that we would be partaking of this manna. Father, we believe it's what we need. And Father, we believe that it's for our betterment and it's for the furtherance of your kingdom. So Lord, may we receive it in our hearts, in a faith-filled heart. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to also read from Revelation, the third chapter, starting at the 14th verse, which is the message to our particular church age. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Aren't you glad you know who this angel is? Not a heavenly angel with wings, but an earthly angel, a messenger. And unto William Branham of the Laodiceans. You say, I'm not a Laodicean. Well, then I'd like to know who your messenger is then. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. God amening his own word. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So this is something that God hates. God hates a lukewarm attitude, a lukewarm heart. And so when we find something that God hates, we want to get as far away from it as we can, right? Because thou sayest, now this is what the church is saying about herself. This isn't what he's saying, but this is what the church says. Because thou sayest, I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. I'm doing just fine. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is speaking of a spiritual condition, our particular day, our particular age. He says, this is what you say, but now I'm going to tell you what I have to say. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. So that gold tried in the fire, you're supposed to ask him for a trial. Because that's what's going to produce the character that's going to make you rich. That's going to produce deity in your life. Gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, little Malachi 4 eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I take him to Disneyland. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not what he said. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. Now, that word rebuke, you know, it sounds like a harsh word. It sounds like a hard word, but it means to convict, to refute. Generally with a suggestion of shame of the person convicted by conviction to bring to light, to expose, to find fault with, to correct. By word, to reprehend severely, to chide, to admonish, reprove. And by deed, it's to punish. Now, he's not, in this case, he's not punishing us, but he's bringing conviction. And conviction is bringing us to light. It's showing us something that we didn't see before. It's showing us how things really are. It's bringing it out into the light. And chasten. The word chasten means to train children, to be instructed or taught, or learn, to cause one to learn, to chastise. So the purpose of chastening is to learn. You're all still smiling, so. As many as I love. He's not a child beater. He's not a wife beater. He's not a church beater. I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be excited about it. Be thankful. Recognize what a gift this is. And repent. Don't keep doing the wrong thing. I showed you what's right. Now do what's right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. That's the word, communing with the word. Amen. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So not everybody has an ear. But if you have one, hear. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now that word overcometh. Excuse me, I didn't finish chasten. I'm going to go back to as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. To chastise or castigate with words to correct of those who are molding the character of others by reproof and admonition. Of God to chasten by the affliction of evils and calamities. Now God does not put evil or calamity on you, but he does allow it to chasten you. To chastise with blows, to scourge of a father punishing his son, of a judge ordering one to be scourged. The word overcometh. To him that overcometh. It's to conquer, to carry off the victory. To come off victorious of Christ, victorious over all his foes. Notice this, of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case or maintain one's cause. So for a Christian, it's to hold on to your testimony, to hold on to your confession, your faith, in the face of all obstacles, no matter what comes your way. You're holding on to your testimony. You're holding on to God's word. You're proclaiming God's word to be true above all else. And to hold fast to that faith against the powers of our foes and against temptations and persecutions. There's power in this tonight. So when the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts and shows us where we're going wrong, we are greatly blessed. Imagine if God never told us what was wrong. We continued to do what was wrong. And if he never told us what was right, we would never do what is right. It would be impossible for us to change direction in our lives without first knowing that we're on the wrong road. And then also, we would have to know that there's a correct one. So it's not enough to know you're on the wrong road, but you need to know what the right road is. Amen. Sister Baker and I were walking on a road at about 9,100 feet plus at 10 o'clock p.m. last Friday. It was about 18 degrees out, and it was a balmy 30 degrees during the day for a couple of days up north of Flagstaff. And we were ascending up at a gradual, a little more than a gradual ascent. We walked for about 2.5 miles or so, huffing and puffing. And we came to this vehicle gate. So we're on a forest road, and there's a gate there to block the passage of vehicles, but not to block the passage of game or people that are walking. And then we turned left at a bend or a junction in the road, and the moon was up, just a little crescent before the sun even went down, and so then there was a little bit of a crescent moon, and by seven or eight o'clock the moon was down, so it was dark. Sky was beautiful, but it was really dark. And we both had headlamps, but we were trying to use the most minimum amount of light because we don't want to spook the deer, because my wife wants to come back in the morning, and her husband's going to come back with her and find a deer. So you're going where they might be bedded down, and you don't want to spook them. And so you try to use as little light as you can get away with. And when it's really dark out, it's really dark. And if you're just using a little bit of light, you can only see just right in front of you where you're going. You can't really see too much off to the left or the right. So we walked on this road for another mile or so before turning back. And I was showing Sister Baker where I'd seen some deer the year before. And as we're coming back, we came to what we thought was the same locked vehicle gate, but it was a different locked vehicle gate. And it was so dark that I thought it was the same gate that we had walked around before. So we walked around it, and we walked, and we walked, and then we walked some more. There was a drop-off on the right side of the road that I didn't remember. You know, I'm getting these little clues that all is not well, that we might not be going back the same way we came. But, you know, there's a part of you that's saying, oh, you know, just keep going. It'll all work out. But the road also seemed a little too flat. You know, we weren't huffing and puffing. It was just, you know. Now, I had left my GPS in the truck because, you know, I knew this area and I didn't need any directions. But after about 45 minutes of this, I pulled out my cell phone and I checked a map program that I had on my cell phone. And then I had to continue, so it showed us where we were at, and I had to continue to walk a little further to see if I was going in the right direction or not. And guess what? You guessed it. We had walked about 2.5 additional miles in the wrong direction. And we had to turn around. So that meant that we had another 2.5 miles to walk just to get back to where we were supposed to be when we made the wrong turn. So what should have been less than 5 miles turned out to be almost 10 miles. Now, how did I feel at that moment? Well, a little foolish, humbled. I was wondering where it was that I'd went wrong. But at the same time, I was feeling thankful. And I was feeling grateful that I got turned around at all. Because I would have kept going the wrong way. And I was thankful that I didn't go 6 miles in the wrong direction. It was only 2.5. Now, if we would have went just a little further, we didn't know it at the time, but if we would have went just a little further, we would have been completely out of cell phone service, and I never would have got a signal. So I never would have been able to use a map to tell me that what we did was wrong. Now, imagine this. Now, I know this is kind of a simplistic analogy, but everything's for a purpose. What if I instead insisted that I was going in the right direction, even though I wasn't? What if I was faced with the fact that I was going the wrong direction, but I said, I'm not going to change? What if I didn't listen to that little voice that kept telling me, kept speaking to me, are you sure this is right? And that finally said, why don't you check the map? What if I got angry over being corrected? Well, I'd still be lost and I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd probably be frozen somewhere. Or the frozen chosen. What if I started playing the blame game? Instead of dealing with the fact that I'm going the wrong direction and turning around, instead I started, well, Dutch and this brother and that brother and brother Blumke and Sister Baker. And this mistake that I was making didn't just affect me. It affected her too. What if I would have said to my wife, woman, be silent. Are you questioning my leadership? Are you saying that I might be wrong? No, I just think we're going the wrong way, honey. Pride is such a horrible thing, friends. It's this flesh that resists any kind of coaching, any kind of direction, any kind of correction. There are many, many, many people that are going to go straight to hell knowing that they are wrong, but too proud to admit their faults. Pride will lie. Pride will deceive. Pride will even rewrite history. Whoa. Throw things. In order to protect itself. It's this flesh that tries to justify itself. It's this flesh that tries to defend itself. It's the flesh that gets angry when you find out that you're wrong. Now, it would be one thing to be doing the best that you know how, and then to find out maybe too late that you were going the wrong way. But, you know, there's some compassion for someone that they're trying to do what's right, or what they thought was right. But there's something that's so much worse than that. And that's to find out that you're wrong, and also to find out what the right way is, and then to refuse to change course and to even admit that you're wrong. That's about the saddest thing that I can think of. And of course, there's another reason why a person that is overcome in sin will not turn from their sin and when they're chastised. And that's because they want to continue on in the sin, whether only for a season or from that point forward. And a person that finds themselves into that kind of a condition is their own worst enemy. They are fighting their way to hell rather than taking a hold of the lifeline that's been tossed out to them. And they will slander anybody that shines light on their sins. They will deny that they're doing anything wrong. And they will refuse to receive any correction, and they will continue full speed ahead in the error of their ways. Now, when a person gets into that kind of a condition, and they will not repent, they will not admit that they're wrong, they're to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 reads thusly. Paul says, it is recorded commonly that there's fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I've judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, thus saith the Lord. Deliver such an one unto Satan. Notice this. For the destruction of the flesh. This word destruction. Ruin, destroy, death. For the destruction of the flesh. Said of the eternal ills and troubles by which the lust of the flesh are subdued and destroyed. It's to destroy the lust of the flesh. For the destruction of the flesh. It's the flesh that isn't repenting. It's the flesh that doesn't want to change direction. It's the flesh that's off in sin. Deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This is love. This is scriptural. And I can't believe I'm having to preach it again. We've preached it. And the people that need to hear it aren't here. Guess what? They're not here again. So choir, just humor me tonight, okay? The word flesh, the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity, the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin, the physical nature of man as subject to suffering. So It's to bring this part. If the Word is not bringing this body into subjection, and there's a gene seed in there, turn that person over to Satan. Let him get after that flesh and drive you back into obedience and repentance and submission. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So he's saying, look, if you just allow this a little bit, it's going to spread. Purge it out. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. I got one amen. One. Do we believe that there is a standard that we have to hold up? Friends, there's not a one of you that would allow your three-year-old to be a drunk. There's not a one of you that would have a four-year-old that would allow your four-year-old to sass you in front of the three-year-old. If there is a one of you, you need a spanking. That's parent delinquency. But you let that kid get away with it, the whole house is going to be that way. Oh, but we're living in Laodicea. You can't preach this. Friends, if Brother John's the only one that says amen, I'm going to preach it. This is our safety. And this is love. And this is the only way you will restore someone that is fighting themselves. I wrote unto you, don't you company with fornicators. He's talking about brothers and sisters in the church. He's not talking about people out in the world. You say, how do you know that? Let's read on. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. You don't know who is and who isn't. And we're not called to be monks. Or with, don't company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, you're in the world, just not of the world. Amen. Now, friends, anytime we preach this, if this applies to somebody, we tense up. And some people get offended. Well, I can't believe that correction was brought. Really? I'd like to visit your house sometime. I'd like to see if there's ever any correction in your home. If there isn't, I wouldn't want to live in your house. There has to be standards. But now, I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous. Now this is rubber hits the road. That's somebody amongst us that's desiring what somebody else has. That has an inordinate desire for something that doesn't belong to them. Or an idolater. Sports hero, movie star. Name anything that you put before the Lord. Or a railer. That's not somebody in a sand buggy. They call that a rail. That's somebody that's a fighter. Somebody that's stirring stuff up. Or a drunkard. Is it in there? Or an extortioner. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell on you if you tell on me. With such an one, do not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judge. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, this word wicked, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, it's a troublemaker. Pressed and harassed by labors, bringing toils, annoyances, perils, of a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. Now you're not to spend time with a person like that. Do you want that person restored?
Yes.
The only way to do it is scripturally. It's not to say, well, you're more spiritual than your pastor and everybody else, so you're going to show your love by hanging out with this person that's killing themselves. What you're doing is prolonging their agony. And when you listen to their lies, when you listen to, well, I would repent, but I'm not being told who to repent to, so. Really? No, if it's in your heart to repent, you'll find out. That's a lie from the pits of hell. So if somebody has been dealt that way in this church, you're not to go put down floors, hang doors, put in paint, hang out, if you want to see that person restored. And it will affect you, because these spirits jump from person to person. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Look, you can get as mad at me as you want. I don't care. We're going to do it this way, or we're not going to do it at all. God is not a respecter of persons. Now, if you're a child of God, you'll want to repent. I don't feel sorry for anybody that has to repent. We all do. And it's a privilege. It's a gift to find out you're wrong so that you can get right and walk with God and be filled with power and be filled with life, to be a standard bearer, a light bearer, to be an overcomer. Otherwise, we're just playing church, and I hate that. I'm not a church player. I never have been. I wasn't a church player when I was a Baptist. Let right be right. Let wrong be wrong. But the Lord told us, you're saying, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. But you don't recognize or know. You're naked, wretched, poor, blind. But then he tells us there's a cure. So it's not to make anybody feel bad, it's to turn you around. What an age, what a rotten age. Can't take any correction at all. That's the path to hell. There's not one person that will end up in heaven that wasn't corrected. This flesh is our enemy. This flesh has to be brought into subjection. Don't side with your flesh. Well, hallelujah. Listen to this. This is from the Message. So, let me just take this further. Some of you have hung out with people that are being disciplined and have received things about your pastor, which was the problem to begin with. And it's just proving that there's a problem. And to side with that? Help us, Lord. Do we want to be a church on fire? This is the only way. We got to keep one another on. We got to provoke one another to good works. Restore one another when we fall. Humbly, but restore. But if a person won't be restored, there's nothing left. You can't stay here and not be restored. You know, a log will rot twice as fast where there's water. So if a church where there's living water, if something doesn't go right, it'll go wrong a lot quicker in a Holy Ghost-filled church. This is from the Message Demonology. Brother Brown says, now, many of you familiar with this. Now, we want to go right in, and God help us now, for a few moments to get into this. Now watch. There was a man, Saul, who was once considered a prophet, for he prophesied with the prophets. Is that right, teachers? Now here this man was backslidden. Isn't that right? But remember where Samuel said he would be with him. At the next day, prematurely gone. See? All right. If you won't mind God, God will take you off the earth. If you're a child of God. Again, he says, look at the Corinthian letter there. How Paul set those people in order. And he said, first, I thank God for you that there's no such things among you and so forth, that you come short of no spiritual gift, telling them what they was positionally in Christ. Then he began to let the hammer down on them to tell them about their women preachers and how they were doing and how they were eating at the Lord's table, and even one man living with his stepmother. And he said to this man in Christ, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. See, that's it. Turn him over. The Bible said, for this cause, many are sick and weakly among you, and men are asleep. They go on prematurely. That's God taking home one of his children that won't live right. Because of sin, God taking you out of the way, a good sign you was a Christian if you were taken. If you weren't taken. Again, in Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham says, I just want to ask you, wasn't it something? He's speaking to this sister, she's all nervous, she's tore up. And he says, wasn't it something you was worried about backsliding or something like that? Something on that order. Well, look, let me tell you about your experience. Now, look, sister, this may hurt a little bit in the audience. He says, now, if you don't believe this, I'm talking to the woman. So he's saying, if you don't believe it, just keep your unbelief to yourself. I'm talking to her. See, God don't run his business like that. Now, you knew that you were once saved. You know that. Well, if God saved you here, knowing he was going to lose you down there, he defeats his own purpose. He can't lose you. He might have to take you off the earth because of your sin, but he won't lose you. Like the man in the Bible who was living with his own mother, and they turned him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. But he can't lose you. You're his. Before the world began, he ordained you to eternal life. And it's the devil trying to cheat you out of it. Call him a liar. Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh, has provided a place for you. Go get it. Live happy. God bless you. You don't want to live that way. You don't want to live with that hanging over you. Well, maybe I'll backslide and maybe I'll be lost. I'm saved today, I'll be lost tomorrow, saved the next day. No, friends. When he seals you, it's till the day of your redemption. And he won't lose a one. This is about him. This is his work. Now, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, we've been speaking about Christ in the true church. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, those that were in the upper room, they were ready to receive this promise. They were saved. They were sanctified. They had all repented of their sin. They died out to their sinful nature. They didn't want to live that way any longer. They were convinced of their sin. They believed the word of promise that was given to them. They believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then the promise came. And they were endued with power from on high, which is what Jesus told them to tarry for. They had power to overcome the lust of the flesh. Now, friends, there's a difference between the lust of the flesh trying to get a hold of you and you having power to overcome the lust of the flesh. It doesn't do away with the lust of the flesh. It overcomes the lust of the flesh. It says, nope, you're not going that way. Nope, you're not giving in to that. Nope, you're not serving that. Because there'd be no temptation otherwise. The temptation, the propensity to be tempted is still going to be there. But there's power to put you on a leash. To say, no, you may be tempted to do this, but you're not going to do it. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. So they believed on this word of promise. And then the power came. When the promise came. And they were endued with power from on high. They had power to overcome the desires of this flesh, the inordinate desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, in other words. They had power to walk right. They had power to talk right. They had power to shut their mouth when it was supposed to be shut, to open it when it was supposed to be open, to quit complaining, to start rejoicing. They had power to act right. They had power to live right, to do right. They had power over sickness. They could speak to sickness and say, get out of here. They had power over death. The death could be raised. They had power over depression. They had power over nervousness. They had power over anxiety. They had power over hopelessness. They had power to remit sin. They had power to stand alone against the powers of darkness. If they had to stand alone. And they had victory. And others took notice of this newfound power. Oh, hallelujah. But then we find in the first church age, very early on, they left their first love. They left the love for a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled meeting. And those don't just happen by accident. God's not going to come where there's sin. That's why there has to get to a time and a place where sin can't come through the door. Because if it tries to, it's convicted, it's condemned. That's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Because we want this place filled with His presence. And it can't be filled with His presence if some simple, stupid sin won't be repented of. It's easy and simple. It's the greatest bargain that there ever is. All it costs you is your pride. They lost the love for a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled meeting. And sin began to creep back in. And the church began to cool off. And when that happens, friends, the power leaves the church. So much of the time, you ask people, do you want a closer walk with the Lord? Hands go up all over the building. Of course, sincerely. Oh yes, yeah, certainly I do. You read my mind. No, that was an easy one. Do you want to see the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and in the church? Oh yes. That's what I'm praying for, Brother Doug. God whip those other people in the church. So obviously they don't want what I want. People think they actually have to beg God for these things. Do you want power to overcome besetting sin in your life? Oh, yeah, I do. But to have this means you first have to repent. You first have to admit, you know what, I'm not what I'm putting on to be. You have to know that you've done wrong or that you've been wrong. You have to admit that you've done wrong or been wrong. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And then that very same life that you came in contact with at the beginning, that very same power will come right back on you. And you'll walk on with the Lord just as you had. And you'll wonder, why didn't I do this sooner? Why did I allow this to kind of creep in and come in slowly? Why did I allow my life to cool down? And here I am blaming God. I'm blaming the church. I'm blaming this. I'm blaming that. I'm blaming my hormones, whatever it might be. Blame yourself. You cooled off. And things have creeped in. And you have to admit it. And it's not like the Holy Spirit hasn't been telling you. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful. That conviction comes. But you've got to quiet that little voice. You've got to push it into the background and say, well, I think I'm okay, or just one more time, or whatever, or this won't hurt, or nobody knows. Friends, if the whole world doesn't know, who cares? He knows everything. You know, I hate to say things like this because over the years people have taken just little things that I say and they'll run off with it and, you know, say I'm preaching false doctrine or I made a horrible statement. I'm just being honest with you, okay? Every time a brother or sister that I know in the faith goes on to be the other side, the first thought that comes to my mind is they know what I'm doing right now. Now, maybe that doesn't come to your mind. And maybe it doesn't need to come to your mind. But it causes me to think, well, because they do. They're no further away than you put them. There's one more that maybe didn't know how you were living, but does now. Now, it should be enough that he knows. That should be enough. But imagine every brother and sister that you know. Imagine Brother Boy looking over the other side right now. Seeing you take a drink of that beer. Oh, he's picking on me. Look, friends. You can stray that way and be Holy Ghost filled and get back. You say, where's the line? I don't know exactly. But I know that you can do things wrong. You can lie to the lawyer. You can tell your wife, lie to him. Tell him I'm not in the house. Brother Branham did. I don't know where that line is, and I'm not trying to find it. That's not the point. The point is, get right. You can have the same power. So you say, but I'm having trouble overcoming this beer thing. Listen. When you were Holy Ghost filled, when it was just coming out of your pores, you weren't having no trouble. Because you had the power. And what you did was you lost the power. How'd you lose the power, Samson? By playing around with it a little bit. And now you're going back to slop. You're going back to something that's a substitute for the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that you had in the beginning. You can have the same Holy Ghost tonight with the same power. It's not your battle. It's just you got out behind the fence. You lowered the bar. And it took you further than you ever anticipated. But there's a cure tonight. It's called repent. If a brother wrongs you, forgive him. Well, how many times? Seven times, I tell you 70 times seven. Friends, nobody's going to keep counting. If that's how we're supposed to forgive, how about him? It ain't how wrong you are, it's how right you get. And he's giving us every means, friends. Every time we do something wrong, he tells us. It's not mystery material. If we're willing to listen, and it's not hard to say, I'm sorry, Lord. Brother Branham made this statement one time. He said, I want to live to the place where the very moment that I do something wrong, that it'll come to my mind and I'll say, I'm sorry, Lord. Amen. And just continue walking with him. Amen. And I thought at that time, the first time I heard him say that, I thought that's where you're at. But that's for all of us, friends. But if we can't repent, one of the worst spirits there is a stubborn spirit. I bind every stubborn demon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave my brothers and sisters alone tonight. That spirit will not repent. It won't bow. And you could be a true Christian and have that kind of a spirit on you. That's why we got to watch who we're hanging out with. God help us. Amen. So you can have all this if you're willing to repent. How often? Would every day be too often? Brother Bram said, I backslide every day. That means you repent every day. Now, backslide doesn't mean that you went out and, robbed a bank or whatever. Ignoring the Holy Spirit in your life. Disobeying that still small voice. You're backslid. But you can repent. Again, from Azusa Jubilee. He says, many times we've let the world slip in. That's what's the matter with our churches today. We kindly let a little bit there, here and there. We gave a homework assignment here last week. How many knows that we gave a homework assignment? Anybody do it? He got right into it quick, didn't he? And that was his... He liked to preach there more than anywhere. And he let them have it. So go listen to that and compare it with this. Many times we let the world slip in. That's what's the matter with our churches today. We kind of let a little bit here and there, and the devil has come in from one place to another, take a little bit, slip in here, just a little of this place here and a little of this place here. Friends, you ought to thank God for the gift of God that you have. You shouldn't take it for granted. This kind of preaching isn't going to be preached everywhere. That means people won't be able to repent because they haven't heard these things and they haven't been pierced in their heart. You got to hear it. The devil's come in from one place to another. Friends, I'm right in here with you. I get challenged. I get scraped. And I thank the Lord. And I wonder, Lord, why did I put up with this or put up with that? Why did I let this go on or that go on? I'm not talking about adultery. Don't worry about that. But I'm talking about just little things that you fail to do. That you make excuses for. And we all do that. We do the things that are important to us and we make excuses for everything else. The devil's come in from one place to another, taking a little bit, slip here, and just a little of this place here, and a little place here. So it's just incremental. It's not a big old flood. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. And the first thing you know, it's got the whole thing in confusion. But what I pray to God, that during the time of this old-fashioned rally that we're having here, that men will forget all their traditions, all the things that has hindered, and lay aside every weight and come back to an old-fashioned meeting where people will be born again. I pray that God will give us hundreds of spirit-filled people at the altar there praying through to God over sinners and things that comes in during this meeting. Oh, what a difference. Now, people, I love you all. You embraced me as your brother when I was once born out of season, but I'm responsible. And I believe we're entering into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that we're at the end time. He says, you know that Jesus preached the acceptable year. Then after his preaching come the Jubilee. Well, we've had great outpouring here in these last days. God has met us with an old-fashioned meeting across the country, and I believe we're now just at the end of that. I believe we're at the end of the road. waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I think what the next thing that we're waiting for is a bringing together of all of God's people that's been strayed away, and different things that's taken us captivity. Oh God. Amen. Gates of hell, give way. Amen. To the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, some of our morals of our church years ago, when Mrs. McPherson stood at this pulpit and others up and down, and this one-eyed colored man down here on Azusa Street, Seymour, he saw more with one eye than people saw with two. They preached the old-fashioned gospel, and men and women lived like godly people. Great things taken place, and today we let down the bars. For instance, not to hammer, I don't believe in that, but brother, I believe that we're here today and the Holy Spirit is among these 5,000 better people sitting here, and this one gathering here, if we'd only let God have His way in every heart, it would start a revival that the papers would pack it from sea to sea and from coast to coast back to the old hewing lines. That means repentance. That means casting down those thoughts that are coming to your mind. Don't say that to me, preacher. I ain't saying nothing to you. The Word is speaking to you. Your problem is with the Word, not with me. But if you'll hear that, and if it pricks your heart, and if you'll repent, oh friends, you can say it's different now. It's different now. It's different now. Your testimony can be, you know, I was struggled with this thing, or I struggled with that, or I struggled with this, and it can be changed. The battle's over. He goes on to say, the devils took many of us captive. Years ago, it was sin for you women to cut your hair, but today Pentecostal women look just like the woman on the street. You can't tell the difference. That's right. Used to be that it was sin back in the old days for women to wear makeup. And today, you can't tell the sinner from the saint. What's the matter? Back to the old human line again. Back to real Pentecost. Back to the old Azusa experience. Friends, if they had more in 1906 than we have tonight, there's something wrong. Because we should have that plus. And then some of you preachers that let down the bars. And some of you men, why, you know, I'm ashamed of you. A man that would call himself a born-again child of God would let his wife act that way and do the way the Pentecostal people let their women act today. Now he's a woman hater. It shows not very much man about you. That's exactly the truth. What we need today, brother. Friends, if a person could take this kind of preaching, power's coming. Deliverance is coming. Joy is coming. Peace is coming. But you've got to be able to sit through this and say, you know what? That's right. Oh, God. That's exactly the truth. What we need today, brother, is a calling back to the old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost. And people is right back again. Amen. That's the truth. Brother, it may scorch a little bit, but I'd rather be scorched here than burn. We're going to get scorched somewhere. I'd rather get scorched here than get scorched there. Listen to this. He says, if the devil has took you captive, it's Jubilee time. This was 1956, 50 years after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Church had went back into captivity. Said America will either accept or reject the Holy Ghost this year. He said, now's your time. The trumpet's sounding. If you'll receive this word, if you'll hear it, you can go free. If you don't, an awl will be poked through your ear and you'll never hear the word again. Oh, you'll hear it, but you'll never hear it. If the devil has took you captive, it's Jubilee time. It's time to come back to the old experience again. Back to the old-fashioned Bible. Back to the place where we can feel the power of God surge through. Not just believe He's here, but feel the power of God surge through. That'll call men and women to the altar. that'll make them stay on their face all night long and pray to God and seek for deliverance. Amen. What a time, he says. Every revival starts out this way. Every move of God starts out this way. Every progression with God. I don't care who you are. Prophet. Doesn't matter. This is Brother Branham's testimony as well. I want to say to you tonight as your brother, this is not just barely getting on. This is not just hanging on until he comes. This is not without power over sin or sickness or the devil. It's an overcoming church. It's a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a church where the world is burned out and Christ is sealed in. It's a church that's like a house on fire on a windy day that can't be put out. Amen. This church is not going down. She's going up. Everything about her is upwards, 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 upwards. Over, over, over. Coming, over, coming, over. She's ascending. She's ascending tonight above lukewarmness. Friends, there's power over that tonight. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's power over lukewarmness. She's ascending over sin in this hour. She's ascending above the darkness of this age. She's ascending above the traps of the devil. She's ascending above habits. She's marching to the voice of her bridegroom. She's listening to the tapes. Not just when she comes to church. She's listening to them herself. And she's showing forth to the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he lives, that he's the same today as he was yesterday or 1965. He's the same tonight. She's showing the sin-killing power of this blood. There's overcoming power in this blood, friends. This is not just another doctrine. This is not just another tangent. This is life itself. She faces trouble on every side, but she's not distressed. She's perplexed at times, doesn't know what to do, but she does not despair. Somebody say, praise the Lord. She's persecuted all the day long, but not forsaken. She's cast down, but not despised. And she's always bearing in her body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's the putting to death of this flesh and the desires of this flesh. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in her. Friends, crucify that flesh tonight. Talk to your flesh tonight. Tell your flesh, you know what? You're not in charge. You weren't taking me to God, neither could you. You wouldn't know truth if it bit you in the nose. That's your flesh. Amen. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a greater power that's down on the inside of the inside. And friends, if that power cannot keep you, then you got the wrong power. It'll do it for Brother Henry. It'll do it for Sister Susan. It'll do it for Brother Joel. It's not a respecter of persons. It's a respecter of the word. It'll overcome the devil anytime, any place, under any circumstance. It'll deliver you from any situation. It will keep you. But if we allow a little gap in there, if we allow the devil to get into there any bit at all, which is through this flesh, if we allow grudges in the church, if we allow bad feelings in the church and we don't deal with it, we might as well just close the doors. Because he is not going to move. He will not move where there's that kind of an attitude. He's bound. He's been bound by the church for 2,000 years. But repentance sets him free. The gift of repentance. It's a gift, friends. Thank God for it. It's time that we examine our lives with the Word. Friends, I'm challenged. If this is just for me, maybe I'm the only one that's going to make it. You believe that? Something's wrong with you if you do. Something's wrong with your faith. If there's only one person that makes it from Tucson, and she has blue eyes and blonde hair, you believe you're that one. You say, well, that's crazy. Are you doubting? I don't care what your senses tell you. I don't care what your reasoning says is possible or isn't possible. Brother, I wanted to be picked so bad. But Miss Blonde Hair, Blue Eyes, Twiggy, Barbie, she got picked. Something's wrong with your faith. You believe you're that one. In the face of all obstacles, hold on to that faith. Persevere. But above all, repent. Zealously repent. We'll close here in just a moment. If you knew somehow that this was your last evening on the earth, if you knew right now that you only had a few more minutes to live. Now, friends, who would have thought, here we are still grieving for our precious brother Samson Tay. Love that brother. Just, there's a bond that, you know, God gives you friends and He gives you special friends. And we've had him with us several times, but we had him and his wife with us one time, and just a wonderful time. But who would have known that he would pass just, you know, a week or so ago, and that his wife would pass just a couple of days ago? A 1-2, who could predict that? Who knew? With that in mind, if somehow you knew this was your last evening on the earth and you had just a few minutes to live, what would you do with those last few minutes? Would you continue to hold grudges? There it is again. Would you continue to insist on your carnal human Laodicean rights, which you do have? Whereas He gave up His rights to save you. Would you continue to make excuses for why you don't do what the Word tells you to do? Would you continue to do things and say, well, this might get you in trouble, but, you know, we've been rebels all along. We're just going to keep being rebels. This church will never go nowhere. Never, with that kind of an attitude. Would you continue to bite the hand that's feeding you? Protecting your pride. Would you continue correcting others while refusing to allow the Word to correct you? Some of the biggest correctors I've ever met take no correction. If they were taking correction, they wouldn't be busy correcting everybody else. It's enough to worry about yourself, isn't it? If you knew that you had but a few more minutes to live, would you continue claiming to be the true church, to be the Holy Ghost-filled bride of Jesus Christ, while living a lukewarm Christian life? You say, how could you say that about me? How'd you know that was for you? If you're not living a lukewarm life, that thought never even would have entered into your mind. This is what I'm talking about. If something in you bucks against it, you ought to look at that something and say, down, boy. Get in your place. You got us in trouble. I'm getting us out. I'm hearing things that's going to change. Bring us out of that condition. Aren't you glad there's a cure tonight? Oh, friends, it'd be so hopeless if there was no cure. If we couldn't live any higher. It'd be so hopeless. But the sky is literally the limit. Where's the limit in the sky? That's your body change. Hallelujah. Or would you bow your head to the dust? Now remember, this is your last few moments on the earth. Would you bow your head to the dust? Say, search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin. Set me free. Oh, I think I'm all right. It's okay for you to think that, but does He think that? And what you need to know is, what do you think, Lord? Here's what the church says. Now, what do you think, Lord? Oh, I don't want to be a fanatic. Oh, you want to be lukewarm then? Are you kidding? Don't call me lukewarm. Well, are you hot? Well, no, I'm not a fanatic. Are you cold? Of course not. Well, there's only one other door. Would you say, search me, O God? Would you say, Lord, forgive me for my slowness of heart at times? Forgive me for my rebellion against Your Word. And against those that You've sent to bring me into perfection. Forgive me for holding grudges. Forgive me for my unforgiving spirit. Forgive me for trying to satisfy this thirst that's deep down inside of me for You with the things of the world. Forgive me for lying about why I miss church. Next time you miss church, just say peanut butter. What's that have to do with anything? Right. What does that have to do with anything? One excuse is as good as another. Do you miss work like you miss church? I'm trying to help you tonight, friends. Don't let that devil... You know, there are things that happen to us in life. I realize that. And so now there's something for us to overcome. But there's power here tonight. To set those things straight. We don't have to continue on being victims. God help us. Would you say, Father, thank You for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank You for the gift of repentance. Thank You for washing me with the water of the Word every time I come and hear the Word. Thank You for life. Thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for overcoming power. Thank You for a power in my life that's changing me from day to day to day. Let me read just a couple of statements and we'll stop here tonight. The Lamb and the Dove. Brother Branham says, now what a beautiful picture that this gives us. How God must be so brokenhearted because of our conduct after He's received us as sons and daughters to see us the way we act and carry on and grudges we hold and fusses and little things that should not be. And yet calling ourselves sons and daughters of God. We must be gallant men. We must be gallant women. We must hold ourselves up as the children of God. We must be an example to the world as our Lord was. We must lead an outstanding life as David. When God said what a gallant man that he was, God said, thou art a man after my own heart. Again, he says, and help us tonight as we enter into these 3 days of fellowship with thee and with thy word and with these brethren. And we pray that you'll drive the enemy from the camp. Take every doubt away. May old grudges and things be buried and done away with. May there come an old-fashioned revival to this lovely city here who stands as a memorial across the world. And may there come a breaking up and a tearing down and an old-fashioned revival that'll melt hearts and churches and people together until the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified before the whole world. Grant it, Lord. India trip report. And here I thought this was going to be about India. The Bible said, before I finish my story on India, because I want you to get that, the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God and Christ were one. They were one. And not as they were one as your finger, as we've had frictions on that too, when it ought not to have ever been. And today we hold grudges. So here he's talking about doctrinal grudges. Listen to this. I don't think the preachers do. It's the congregation. Did you notice the order of 2 Timothy chapter 4? They shall heap for themselves together teachers having itching ears and be turned away from the truth, the world, to fables, fantastics, and so forth. I don't think it's the ministers. I've gathered with hundreds of them. And I see them reach across the table with different denominations and shake one another's hands. And brothers, see? It's the sheep that's bleeding wrong. Ouch. I can hear that, friends. Hate me. Just, amen, oh my, something. Help me, Lord. We could all admit tonight, all of us, that we could reach out a little bit more. A little more brotherly kindness. Has this ever happened to you, or is it just me? Does it ever happen to you when you think, you know, I don't want to say nice job to somebody because that person hurt me or that person made me mad and I don't want to encourage them, whatever. And they did a nice job or whatever, right? And something down inside of you says, yeah, but that ain't right. You know, I'm not going to let that hold me back. I'm going to rise above that. It's just me or anybody else have those kind of battles? Well, what kind of battles do you have then? Because we're all overcoming something. The point here is there's none of us that are different. We're all struggling. We're all pressing. But there's one solution. And it'll work for all of us. No matter what your background, your race, your color, your creed, your political party. Again, thy loving kindness, he says, when your life tallies with Christ, that's when you've got it. By their fruits you shall know them. Now, friends, you can have fruits and them not be manifested because you're not feeding on the right thing. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, not grudges and fusses and fights and stews and arguments. Those of you that get on social media, do you ever have this? You see somebody put something on there and it's just wrong? And you want to say that's just wrong? And you don't? Good, you're overcoming. That's not the place for it. And it wouldn't make any difference anyway. It just turn you into an arguer. Next thing you know, you're down there in the mud pits. See where you got out acting like the world, living like the world? And the coming of the Lord is at hand. God be merciful, children. Satisfy that thirst tonight with Christ. Hallelujah. How cold the church has got. How cooled off. But that compares with Scripture. It's supposed to be that way. You know, there's a tendency for us to look around and say, well, I see things cooling off. It must be the message is losing its power. No, this is the message. It's supposed to. But you're not supposed to be cooling off. Amen. This is to show who you are. This is to prove you. It's easy for us to all be on fire when everybody's on fire. when everybody's excited. There's a brother from South Africa that I've known since 1995, the first time I went to South Africa. I forget what his name is, but it'll come to me. I'll text you tonight, midnight. He posted something, it was something that was happening at an airport in South Africa, and he's videoing it with the phone, and there's like three decks, three levels of people hanging over, and people everywhere, and there's horns blowing, and there's just an excitement in the air. And, you know, of course, I'm a sucker. I got to find out what, you know, because it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't say what all this is about. So I thought, well, all right, you reeled me in. I'm going to stick through this and find out what everybody's shouting about and what everybody's so excited for. Turned out the World Cup champions, you know, soccer, right? But, I mean, it went on and on and on, and it built and built and built until the guys were actually coming and they got the trophy. And I thought, man, imagine if we could get that excited about Jesus Christ, what He's done, what He's doing. If the world can come under that kind of an anointing over something that's really meaningless, but they all rally around and identify with it, how about us? Again, the Ephesian church age. He says, but people live today like they were, like this is the only thing there was. Live here on the earth and that's all. You don't realize you got a soul that's going to leave here and go somewhere. And you seal your destination right here. The way you live and the way you do, out holding grudges and mean and everything, and then run to church. Oh, mercy. Whew, shame on you. You bring a reproach upon the cause of Christ. Isn't that right? Don't we do that? The bootleggers aren't hurting the church. It isn't that. It isn't the prostitute that's hurting the church. It's the people who profess to be Christians that's hurting the church. We know what the bootlegger is and what the prostitute is. When our sisters dress like a prostitute, that's different. That's what hurts the church. When a man drinks like a bootlegger, well then, that's what hurts the church. Professing to be a Christian and they do that, the people look for you. That name, let him that even names the name of Jesus Christ depart from sin. See, get away from that. Friends, repentance will renew that power. Yeah. Amen. The little foxes that spoil the vine, just little repentance will take care of that. Amen. Little brokenness. How many knows that's true? Amen. There's a key here tonight. Yes. And it'll work for anybody. Yes. Oh, we're so short, brethren. Me, you, all of us, we're short of what Christ wants us to be. And right here in this day, it's time to lay aside every sin that's easy beset us and run with patience the race that's set before us. You know, you need to just get a little attitude about whatever that thing is that derails you. The thing that keeps coming back around, that you were very, very sincere. You said, I'm not doing that anymore. And then it come back around. You need to get an attitude. You need to say, you know what? You're not worth it. We're not going there. I found my satisfaction somewhere else. He's my portion. We're short of what Christ wants us to be. And right here in this day, it's time to lay aside every sin that easy besets us. Beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us. Preachers, that's right. Brethren, that's exactly right. Remember and repent, or I will remove the light of the star out of his place. What is his place in the church? If you don't repent and go back to where you was at the first place, I'll take your pastor right away from you and move him out of this place. Oh, God wouldn't do that. He said He would. Right. Said that to the Ephesian church. Right. Seventh Church Age Messenger confirmed it. Sure. I'll take your pastor right away. You know, some people don't realize what they have. Amen. Let some devil make your pastor your enemy. Right. Tell me what gospel friend of yours is helping you to live like the Lord. Amen. Tell me what's causing you to come up higher. You familiar with the quote, you will not live any higher than your pastor teaches? Didn't say lives, teaches. Of course, he ought to live what he teaches. You see that. You see backslid churches, you see a pastor that's backslid. This is a Holy Ghost filled church. Now, maybe you didn't know it when you joined, but you know it now. This is property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bought and paid for. I'll take your pastor right away from you, move him out of his place. I'll put him somewhere else where I'll reflect my light that'll shine. Wasn't that solemn? It's time for the churches to repent. It's time for Pentecost to get a lot of these little polished scholars out of the pulpits and get the old-fashioned preacher in there that'll tell you the truth. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Not pat you around and use the church for a meal ticket, big wages and something like that, and psychology and a few horse races and soup suppers and everything else. It's time to get back to the gospel. I don't care how little you are. Where two or three are gathered, I'll be in their midst.
Amen.
Repent unless I come and remove the candlestick. Send him away elsewhere. Shine his light.
Yeah.
Now, friends, Christ is here.
Amen.
We don't want to take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Amen.
What would you exchange for him tonight? That's an easy question. He's all we want. He's all we need. And we are living below our privileges. Now, if there's a demon whispering in your ear tonight saying that you've been condemned, the only way that you can be condemned is if you're still a sinner. Because there is therefore no condemnation. But there is conviction. There is chastening. And I thank God for it. That's real love. He's not calling you bad. What he's saying is that your flesh is trying to do something that's bad. Let the spirit have control. Let the soul rise up and take control. Friends, the Lord promised me something years ago. Maybe one of these days I'll share it with you. There's a lot of things that I haven't, but I'm waiting for it. There are greater things to come. But it'll only come one way. It has to come His way. And we have to be obedient. We have to be ready to repent. We have to be like a gentle plant that's easily moved, not an old dead stick that breaks the first time you touch it. We're privileged to be living in this time, in this hour. I want more of Him. And I know you do too. You wouldn't be here otherwise. I could say a lot of good things about you tonight, and I could go on and on and on and on, and it would all be true. But that's not what you need tonight. Sometimes we just need a little checkup. You know, how's the pulse? Yeah, I know I've been eating a few more carbs, Doc, than I'm supposed to. I know that the cholesterol's high. I'll do better. Will you? Oh, it's just a little thing. Everything the doctor tells you is a little thing. How's the exercise? Well, you know, got up to change the channel. My right arm's bigger than my left arm because it's my coffee drinker. That cup is heavy. 8 ounces. Anybody fast the day before you go to the doctor? You're not old enough. Anybody hold your breath when you're on the scale? put on your lightest clothing. Because you know the doctor's going to say you gained a few pounds since you've been here last time. Right? Heart rate's a little higher. Blood pressure's a little this. Right? You know he's going to say that. Why? Because you haven't been doing anything about it. That's just a simple, right? Yeah. Well, I'm going to wear my loafers because those, the heels and those shoes, you know. It couldn't be that I ate too many Twinkies, you know. I'll never forget, brother. Love him to death, brother. Paul LaFontaine, he says, we got to be balanced, brother. That means we got to have a Twinkie, one in each hand. I'll be honest, I'm not really a fan of Twinkies, but you know, we all got a punch coming. We all got an area, we all have areas that we got to watch. Let's stand. I know we're on the right path. But let's take it up a step further. Let's bow our heads tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want anybody to lift your hand just yet. Because I want to know who's lifting their hand tonight. I do want to know. If you don't have the courage to raise your hand, then you don't mean it. But when you repent of something, you don't care. You're just glad to be free with it. But that little spirit of pride lays there, and I don't want anybody to see. Well, the one that sees all things can see. He's the one that we have to fear tonight. We're trying to help you, though. Make a profession. An admission. And to take a step higher. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that would say, you know, I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have the joy that I used to have. Seems like it's all trials and struggles. But I also know that I'm not pressing like I used to. Not that I'm going out and robbing banks or anything, but just don't have the zeal that you once had. But you want to repent of that tonight. You want to ask God to restore the joy of your salvation, to renew a right spirit within you, to bring that revival, to bring you to that place of repentance where you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am. I mean it, Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do a certain thing. I don't want to hide it from you. I don't want to battle with the thought in my mind about whether to admit it or not. I just want to admit it and put it before you and say, Lord, I need you. I lay it at your feet. And Lord, as I repent, I know that you're going to loose me. You're going to loose me from this thing that's binding me. It's darkness that allows these things to grab a hold. But the light of your word has come. And where there's light, there's life. Where there's light, there's liberty. If that's you tonight, you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you just slip your hand up to him? Lord, there are hands all over the building tonight. Father, you know exactly what we have need of. And Lord, you know it strips the hide off of my back to preach a message like this, to bring a message. Lord, you know that I don't believe that I'm better than everybody else, that I'm high and mighty, Lord. Whatever you're dealing with me, just as anyone else. I'm part of this body just the same. Lord, I want more. I want to see a greater move, Lord. I want to see, Lord, if I can think of a time where I was more on fire than I am right now, that means that I need to repent of something. Because it means I'm backslid.
Amen.
It means that I've cooled down a little bit. Lord, I want to see your presence in a greater measure. I want to pay the price, Lord. I want to apologize to you, Lord, for ignoring your gentle, still small voice at times, for quieting it down, reasoning with it, allowing the flesh to get out from under. It might feel good in the flesh to get something, say something, whatever, but Lord, we know it's wrong. Forgive us. Lord, help us tonight. I want to be more like you, Lord. I want to see more of your presence in the body. Lord, we want to get to the place where we're so walking in the Spirit and so filled in the Spirit that all other people see is you. Lord, that's the greatest equalizer that there ever would be, is all of us manifesting the same Spirit of Christ. Lord, I watched that video for a few moments. Part of me watched because I wanted to know what all the excitement was and what was causing everyone. Lord, I didn't see anyone in that little short clip that wasn't excited, that wasn't looking in the same direction, that wasn't pulling. Just the fact that they were there meant that they were all looking to unite around something. And Lord, when I saw that it was a ball team, and there was national pride that went with that. And Lord, nothing against that. We're not speaking against national pride or sports or anything like that. But Lord, help us tonight if something like that would cause us to rally, and yet an old-fashioned meeting would be something out of reach, something that would cramp our style or something that we would resist. Help us tonight, Lord. Father, we want your Spirit to move in every crack and corner of the building. And Lord, I know that the devil's beating on some people tonight and telling them, see, I told you, and you're never going to amount to anything. But Lord, you're bringing this tonight to remind us that we could be free. Lord, that we're not called to remain in a rut. But there's power here tonight, Lord. There's not a person in the building that hasn't witnessed that power. We've seen it, Lord. Whether it was your saving grace, whether it was your delivering power, whether it was healing, whether it was encouragement, answered prayer, feeling your presence, whatever it might be, Lord, we know you're real. We're serving the living God here tonight. Now, Lord, we want to repent. We want to zealously repent tonight. Father, we believe your word, and we ask you to help our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to manifest faith where there's shadow yet in our lives. Father, we know the preaching of the word is what we need. We need to hear that word. We need to receive it. Allow it to wash us, Lord. Allow it to reach into the recesses that we don't even know need to be clean, Lord. Father, we trust you tonight. Father, may there not be a person feeling beat down here tonight. Father, may this old-fashioned style preaching, Lord, may it leave us feel scrubbed out. And Lord, to see how mindful you are of us tonight, Lord. How much you care about us, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each and every soul, bless each and every heart. Lord, I pray that an old-fashioned revival would result. I know that, Lord, that if we truly repent, there's no way that it can't happen. I know that that's the, Lord, a ditch digging. And Lord, that's the basis of any true revival. There's never been a revival that didn't start with a cleaning out, with an emptying out. Lord, if we can humble ourselves before you, we'll see you manifested as we should. Help us tonight, Lord, each and every one. Search our hearts, Lord. We're not looking for some great big old caterpillar to go dig into the center of the earth, Lord. It's no doubt it's just right on the surface. Something that's right near us. day to day. But Lord, may your Spirit convict. May your Spirit cleanse. May it bring us to repentance, Lord. And then may the power of the Holy Spirit come and do what we cannot do, Lord. We're trusting in you tonight, Lord. We're looking to you. We're confessing you, Lord. From the pulpit to the back door. We ask these things tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many can say, Lord, I need you tonight? I need you. Yes, Lord, I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. Right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.